This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, USDA economist Bart Kenner explaining what's behind the current ag trade deficit.
As we've seen, imports have been increasing more than exports by value for a while, so that's not a big surprise to see that we've got a 9% increase over last year. The main driver of the slower exports in the last couple of years has been the strong dollar compared to foreign currencies. And so a lot of the places that compete with U.S. agricultural products on the global market can sell their products at a competitive price to foreign purchasers. And so we have seen that downturn, though it seems to be leveling off. We've got a 1% increase over last year in terms of value.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Tony. Happy New Year to you. It's always good to visit with you.
It's a new year, but doesn't mean we've wrapped up the 2024 cotton harvest yet. I think there may still be a field or two that needs to be harvested, but for sure, there's some gins still running, aren't there?
Yes, there are still some gins that are still in operation. As a matter of fact, if we look at the classing office reports from last week, they were still receiving classing information and samples in from more than 40 gins across the area. So still some operation going on. I am today in Swisher and in Briscoe counties. Here in the panhandle, southern part of the panhandle, and so there's still some operation going on there. I know of some gins that are still running in the panhandle, the northern panhandle, that is. And then yesterday I was down in Dawson County near La Mesa, and there were still some operation going on down there. So I would say that finally our harvest season is winding down, but still some activity and still some gins bringing in cotton and trying to wrap up the last of it. You know, this one was certainly a different season. We all talked about hoping to see a harvest season that was quick and compressed, and unfortunately that did not happen. I had some gins that started ginning in early October, and you know, it took forever on the high plains for us to get what we would really consider to be a killing freeze. We were all the way up into December before that actually happened, and then also in addition to that, we had at least three pretty significant rainfall events across the area in November. So we got a lot of November rainfall that is typically pretty unusual for us, and I know that the gins had to fight that, and they had to fight it out in the fields where they were trying to finish harvesting, and even though that makes for a very difficult situation, you know that in West Texas we'll never turn rain down, and we do know that even though you have to battle that during the harvest season, that will help the situation for next year. I have heard of people that have told me that they've got a good 4 feet of moisture profile right now. So that will, unless that's used by a wheat crop or something similar, that will set there in reserve for next year, for this upcoming growing season. I almost said next year. We're at next year. We're now in the 25 season, so it's upon us.
Part of that 24 season was just the fact that we had some acres there towards the end of the year that were finally zeroed out or abandoned. Do we have any idea of how many acres were actually abandoned?
You know, we got a recent estimate on that, and this is, well, I say estimate, this is based on actual certification information from FSA. And so Sean Wade is our technical analysis person in the Plains Cotton Growers offices, and he put these numbers together and shared those with all of us. And so I think that this is some really interesting and valuable information. So for the state of Texas, if you look at the January certified acreage numbers from FSA, we saw a total on all upland cotton of 33% abandonment in Texas. And that abandonment number on the High Plains, more specifically, was 45% abandonment for all cotton. About 60% of our dry land was abandoned this year. And that is a high number, much higher than average abandonment rates, but we did have a terrible August this year. And the other thing that I would say that is interesting to me is that the abandonment rate was less than the two previous seasons. And going back on the High Plains, if we look at abandonment rates for 2023, for all production, on cotton, upland cotton, it was 61% abandonment in 23. And that number actually reached 71% abandonment in 2022. So unfortunately, as everyone knows, we have had three very difficult and challenging growing seasons out here on the High Plains of Texas. And so now we've got a little moisture in the ground, and I certainly hope that things will turn around for producers and for the entire industry. And I hope that we'll see a little kinder growing season for the 2025 season.
When we talk about abandonment, we also have to talk about how that affects the chain, if you will, and talk about the infrastructure that's affected by that, because if you don't have a crop, then you don't gin the crop, which means then you don't put it in the warehouse. And it just kind of trickles down, if you will, or is a domino effect. But there is cotton that's being ginned, and some gins that maybe haven't been running in the past were able to run this past year. Do we have any idea of what maybe final numbers could be?
Well, I think we're certainly getting very close on that. And I think we're to the point that we kind of see overall where we're going to land for this particular year. So we just had the January world supply and demand estimates come out. And as we look at those for the United States, the estimate on cotton production is 14.4 million bales. And they are projecting Texas at 4.1 million bales, which would be roughly 28% of U.S. production. Now, if we break that down a little further, I don't have numbers particularly for the High Plains as of yet, but if we go and look at our classing office estimates, we see that the Lubbock classing office, as of the last report, which was on January the 9th, they were estimating that they were 96% complete based on their projections. And then the La Mesa classing office was at 89%. So we're virtually winding down there. And those two classing offices have classed a total number of samples from 2.256 million bales. Now, I would caution the listeners out there that we still have to divide these out by county and even by state line some of these gin samples that may come from an adjacent state or from a different district. So there will be some separation to do before we get those official estimates for yield and production, but we know that we're going to land somewhere above that 2 million bale mark on the High Plains of Texas. And again, that's much lower than what our long-term average is of around 3.7 million bales, but better than the two previous years. So at least we're headed in the right direction on that, Tony. And I hope that things will be better for 25.
Farm bill is in place. Unfortunately, it's a second extension of a 2018 farm bill, really not meant to handle some of the challenges we've seen.
Correct.
I do know there's been some legislation to kind of help out as well. What are you hearing?
Yes, sir. Well, we had hoped that as that farm bill extension came through that there might be some adjustments on those reference prices, but that ended up not being the case. As the clock ran down on opportunities to debate that, and so it was just passed as a clean extension. However, they did pass some marketing assistance legislation, market loss assistance, because if you look at all of the major commodities being produced in the United States, all of those compared to the cost of production this year were below break even. And since our farm bill did not get done with a change in reference prices, they did put in about $10 billion of market loss assistance. And that will be distributed based on planted acres across the area. And what was told at the time of the legislation was that they would allow 90 days for the distribution of these funds. So 90 days from December the 20th and 21st, we're essentially looking at a March 21st time frame that we would anticipate this money getting out into the countryside. And I know that's been a question from a lot of producers that I have visited with over the last couple of weeks, as well as gin managers, so that they have a better idea on what to tell their bankers as they go in and prepare for this 2025 season and go in requesting their operating loans. Now, in addition to that, and I don't mean to step out ahead of you, but in addition to that marketing loss assistance, there was also some disaster funding that was passed. And that was passed for all of the natural disasters that have occurred across the nation, including the hurricanes, the floods, the wildfires, the droughts. And so we know that of that, that there was about $21 billion that was earmarked for agriculture. And I believe about $2 billion of that will go to livestock producers. And then the remaining amount will be going for row crops and specialty crops and things of that nature. And so this disaster assistance was passed for the seasons of the 2023 and 24 growing seasons. Now, what we anticipate is that we won't know the details on this until the new administration comes in, and this will be passed by or will be distributed through the new administration of USDA. So this will very likely be some months into the 2025 growing season. But farmers can still count on seeing some relief from that in areas where they may qualify for disaster assistance.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers. You can learn more online, plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
Attention to those of you out there that want to keep your work-from-home lifestyle hassle-free. You know, when you work from home, sometimes you're a one-man show. That even means your own IT department. But what do you do if you're not IT savvy? Call My Computer Works. Let them be your IT department. And they're based right here in the United States. Call My Computer Works right now. Save $75 off your membership. Protect your computer from viruses, ransomware, and keep it running in tip-top shape so you can run your career and your business in tip-top shape. Let them do what they do best, which is keep your computer running perfectly. And you do what you do best, which is run your business, your life, and your career. Call right now and save $75 off your membership. 800-492-8172. 800-492-8172. 800-492-8172. That's 800-492-8172.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Mark Brown, Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Increased yields in USDA's final estimate of 2024 corn and soybean crops Friday provided reaction on the futures markets on the up. Yet, as Chief Economist Seth Meyer points out, what did not make news on Friday with the series of crop production reports and world agricultural supply and demand estimates.
When we look at internationally as well, folks were wondering, hey, will we get a corn change anywhere in South America? No change in the size of the corn crop for Argentina and for Brazil.
With the World Agricultural Outlook Board this month keeping production forecasts for not only corn, but soybeans as well, the same as the December 10th report.
Looks pretty supportive of corn and soybean prices, and in fact, that's what we're seeing.
While no change was recorded by the World Board for the season-ending average price for beans, the January price estimate for corn was raised 15 cents from the previous month. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.